Thank you, Robert. And good morning, everyone. I hope all of you are having a nice day, a holy day. And this is an unusual holy day. We all understand that. We all have memories about when we were first called. I know I do. And before I go on a little further, I just wanted to thank Teresa for being here as our pianist. You know, it's been quite a while, and she was our pianist since she was this little, and now she's this little. No, she's that much. But yeah, some of you probably know her older sister, who was just before her, and I'm not sure where she is now. Where is she living now? Is she in Canada? In Boston? Okay, her older sister is in Boston. She also can play the piano well, and so it's good to see her here. And then I see Eden, her little son there. Hi, Eden. Good to see you. And he waves to me. And then there's another child there, a little daughter. I mean, this is quite an exciting day for I think, especially the singers, you know, and it's just wonderful to have her. And I wasn't going to say when is she coming back to play for the choir and all that type of thing. That's another time. But you know, when Esther and I first came into the church, I'll just talk a little bit about our conversion. Well, when we came into the church way back, probably a long time ago, and it was very interesting how we came back, but we weren't, I don't recall being given this, all the information that this day serves back then in the 1960s, but nevertheless, it was there, and we just didn't know too much about it, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. As a matter of fact, we thought we were quite ready to inaugurated into God's church. Actually, that's not the term. But nevertheless, the elder that was helping us, I don't recall him bringing this particular day across. But nevertheless, it was there, and it was just a matter of time before we found out about it. And obviously, it was an unusual one. And there's a lot to this day to understand what exactly does it mean. Because we're talking about leaven and unleavened, you know. And the days is called unleavened. Leaven instead of leaven. The rest of the days can be leaven, if so. But this one, these days are unleavened. And as we know, leaven stands for sin. It stands for sin. It stands for willingly to sin, or it stands for accidentally. It doesn't matter. If that leaven is there, we are to remove it. And one of the things that's important for us to understand about leaven is that it's supposed to puff us up. And we understand that puffing up does deal with some key words, and pride is one of them. But there was an article from the United Church of God that I think provided some valuable information for all of us to focus on continually, especially during these days of unleavened bread. Now, you notice I said days of unleavened bread, as we understand. Of course, there's seven of them. But I'm going to try to present the scriptures given and then apply them to all of us as we recognize the importance of living our lives according to God's will. And when I say scriptures given, there's a long list of scriptures, and obviously I don't have time to go into all of them, but there's some key scriptures that are very, very important, and we realize that some of it began right from the Passover, you know, right there. We were, the children of Israel were to leave the nation of Egypt, and they were to eat unleavened bread. And one of the reasons for that not necessarily the key reason, was because they had to leave quickly. And so the leaven was not a part of it. So let's begin right there in Exodus 12:15, where it states, for 7 days, Exodus 12:15, for 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. And then there's another scripture, what happened there in Exodus. It says in Exodus 1:15 and Exodus 2:39, it says, and they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were driven out of Egypt and could not wait, nor had they prepared provisions for themselves. And when we think of leavening, it's an agent, as I was studying what it actually means. Leavening is an agent such as yeast that causes bread dough to rise. The leavening process takes time, and the Israelites had no time to spare when they left Egypt. So they had baked and ate flat bread. And God appropriately named this time the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And as you know, there's all different types of food that have leaven in them. And of course, when you see the word flat bread, then you begin to realize, oh yeah, you know, there's some tortillas that I like, you know, and that's nice. Maybe I don't have to. They won't have leaven in them, but they do have leaven in them, and you have to really check them closely. And so that's very important. God appropriately named this time the Feast of Unleavened Bread in Leviticus 23:6, or the Days of Unleavened Bread in Acts 12:3. And I won't go into the scriptures there, but I wanted to go into now when Jesus came into earth as a human being, he observed this seven-day festival, sometimes called the Feast of Passover by the Jews, because the Days of Unleavened Bread followed immediately after Passover, so that the two adjoining festivals could seem to be one. And in fact, Passover themes do carry over into the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The early church, imitating Christ in his religious practices, observed it as well. And let's turn to a couple scriptures here from the New Testament. Luke 2:41. If you want to turn there. And it says, and this is when Jesus was now a boy still. He amazed the scholars. And they had a time when they needed to go to Jerusalem. It says, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. Well, this was the time when actually the Days of Unleavened Bread were taking place right in that time. And let's look at Matthew 26:17. Matthew 26:17. Matthew 26:17, it says, here it mentions how Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples. And verse 17, we'll go right into that. It mentions, now on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? And then he goes on and gives other instructions. My point I'm making is that even then, when Jesus was with his disciples, that term, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, was obviously being discussed. And then so it continues. It says, so the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared, of course, the Passover. And you know that the Passover, we do eat unleavened bread. And that's how actually when it begins, right at that particular time. And and then when evening had come, he sat down with the 12. And now as they were eating, he said, assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. And then it went on regarding his situation that would end up in his death. But those are just some key words that I just wanted to at least focus on. Now, God gave his earliest biblical instructions concerning this festival to the Israelites as they prepared to leave Egypt. And I'll quote it again. It says, for 7 days you are to eat bread made without yeast. And that's what we've been through, hopefully, these last 7 days. On the first day, remove the yeast from our houses, or to clean our houses, for whoever eats anything with yeast in from the first day through the seventh must be cut off from Israel. So it's a serious thing. These days are very serious, and I think we all understand that our homes should be clean and free as possible when these days happen every year. And then it mentions again, it says, on the first day, hold a sacred assembly, and another one on the seventh day. So here we are on the seventh day, a sacred assembly, a holy day. It's a holy day. And it says, do no work at all on these days except to prepare for food for everyone to eat. That is all you may do. So we take it seriously. And now, obviously, that's something that the world doesn't understand. Most of the world, of course, there are some that do. I think that when Esther and I finally came to that place where we had to tell our parents that we were now keeping the Sabbath day and we were no longer keeping Christmas, and that those obvious things, that they kind of looked at us, you know, what's happened to him, you know, that type of thing. Then yet they were gracious. We didn't get into any big fusses about it. But I don't recall we said, and furthermore, there's another time where we have to eat bread without yeast. I don't recall bringing that up at that particular time. However, it's something that's important for us, and I think we all understand that. We're here, and most of the world isn't here, or in a service, as we understand. Now, and of course, it goes on. It says, on the first day, hold a sacred assembly, and another one on the seventh day. Do no work at all. Do no work at all on these days except to prepare for food for everyone to eat, and that is all you may do. This is in Exodus 12, 14 through 16, the New International Version. So it's a seventh-day festival, and when you have food that you're eating along with your other food that is flat, it kind of keeps us thinking and recognizing that these days are sacred. These days, they're not all holy days, but they're sacred because God has said, this is something we must all do. And when it comes to that particular part of what we must do, as I look at you, most of you have been in God's church for quite a while, and you understand, and we understand, that this is not a time to, it's not a place to argue or anything like that. God has said through Jesus Christ and also his disciples and others that this is a time that we do no work at all on these days except to prepare for food and for everyone to eat. And that is all you may do. And so now as we go a little further, we're just to say, to recognize that today we are on the seventh day. The seventh day, a holy day. And of course, we are perhaps looking forward to the time when we can, if we're not careful, to when we can eat bread that is not just flat, you know, or the crackers or things like that. But we should be able to understand that the days of unleavened bread were the first areas of focus. The first areas of focus on how to live for the children of Israel after the Passover. Now, let's notice that the bread to be eaten was to be flat. I mentioned that. In other words, it emphasized the importance of living our lives as Christians in a humble manner. Living our lives as Christians in a humble manner. Humility comes into the picture now, brethren, and I'm sure that most of us here understand that when we obey God, especially in a particular obvious time of how to live these days, humility comes into the picture. We are to live our lives with humility in thinking of ourselves. Or not thinking of ourselves, rather, but thinking of others. We must strive to not get puffed up, you know, and that's easy to do that, getting puffed up, and we understand what that means, that thinking we are something when we are not. And as Christians that are striving to follow God's way of life, which includes the Sabbath days and the holy days and all of the various festivals, humility comes into the picture. We can understand now that Jesus Christ, our Savior, was a humble person, a very humble person. He did not focus on pride, but on recognizing just who we are as God's people. And he obviously was a very, very humble man. He didn't go around saying, look at me, you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But he certainly spelled it out regarding leaven. And of course, leaven not only is food, but a leaven, a person that has leaven works in him, now he's getting into another area of life. And he's a proud person, or a person that's disobeying God, breaking the laws and all of that. I chose not to go into all of that in this particular message, but I will say this, that as the elect of God, we, holy and beloved, we are to put on tender mercies. We're to live our lives being tender. We're not at that stage where we're to blast one another or let loose on how we talk to them. We're also supposed to put on kindness. Those are important, and I think we understand them. I'm just repeating them. Kindness is very, very important. I included humility already. And of course, there's others, and that is meekness, and long suffering, which includes being patient, bearing with one another. And a very key one is to forgive one another, forgiving one another. We're still human, and we stumble, and we all know that. We're not at that place where we're the best and all of that. Those are key words, and these are things that the days of unleavened bread can help us to focus in on, that it's important that we look at one another, not necessarily for those words, but to look at ourselves for those words. Do we put on tender mercies toward others? Not just here, but where we work, where we are, kindness and humility and being meek and long-suffering. And you're saying, well, how can I have long-suffering? Well, you know, long-suffering is being patient. Being patient, or taking something with not worrying about it. The term could be just don't worry about it. Just move on with your life. And then of course that word forgiving one another. And so it's not just us here that can go out into the world. We can use those terms in how to live wherever we are, whoever we talk to, at the store, how we talk to the people there, and when we go to a clothing store, when we have go to a doctor or whatever, when we visit other people, when we see old friends, and they don't understand, but they notice our approach to them. And I think we all understand when we see people that we haven't seen for quite a few years and knew us when we were just harsh, and now we come in soft and tender and merciful and forgiving, and just have a different approach, and they catch on. They won't tell us usually what it's all about, but that's part of the days of unleavened bread. Also here it says, I'm looking at Colossians 3:12 right now, and I'll continue. It says, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave, so you must also do. You must also do. That's a big one. We recognize that, especially those of us that have been in God's church. We don't have to go to the individual and loudly say, I forgive you. No, just forget it and move on. But then in verse 14, Colossians 3:14, this is a very key scripture. And then it says, and I think we all understand that one, it says, but above all these things, put on love, and which is the bond of perfection. I think our pastor, he spoke on love, and I think I'm not mistaken, he mentioned these. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in our hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Be thankful. Verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And I'm a singer. I think you all recognize that. And you're singers too, especially when we come down here. And God put music into the hearts of people. So in the Bible, there's quite a few verses on singing and how we sing, and when we sing with really a nice approach to it, people are blessed by it, and certainly God looks at our heart and understands that. And as it goes on, it says, song singing with grace in your hearts. Grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then it continues, verse 17, Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, well, that's a big word. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So now let's focus on the word humility. The word humility. Let's look at some examples of humility. And there's plenty of examples, of course. But if we can continue a little bit more, and it mentions there, as I'm looking at in Colossians, now I'm in verse 18, where it just talks about the family. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, very, very key word, love your wives, and do not be bitter toward them. So what does that say? Wives and husbands, get along with each other and submit to one another and love your wives. And of course, we can say the same thing toward our children too. Love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. And then of course the children, it says, children, very famous scripture, obedience. Obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord, well pleasing to the Lord. And a very key word, a key sentence rather, is verse 21. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. And that's not too difficult to understand. If we're attacking our children, when they're little especially, they're not able to answer back at us, and when we just keep going and keep going, they become discouraged. You know, we have to be very, very careful in how we conduct ourselves with our family members and, of course, with one another. And here's another verse. It says, bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, and not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. That's a long sentence, I know. And the bond servants were servants, and they were there for a stated amount of time, but the word obey comes right into it. Obedience comes right into it. And not with eye service, not just when someone sees us, but to be, you know, look at us and this type of thing. But back then, of course, they were called bond servants. And whatever you do, verse 23, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Verse 24, and let me say a little bit more though. Do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. And I think, as I see most of you here, you're veteran brethren, you've been around just like me, I suspect, and it's good to renew that when we conduct ourselves, God looks at ourselves and how we conduct getting along with others. God sees that, and so we have to be very careful. And it says, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men, not to show off, but to the Lord, to God. No, and then verse 24 says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. That's why we live. Jesus Christ, our Savior, and he represents God the Father, and we can talk to him, pray to him continually. And then verse 25, it says, but he who does wrong will be repaid. And sooner or later, we do something wrong, sooner or later, something will happen for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Then on in chapter 4 of I'm still in Colossians, it says, masters, give your bond servants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. And I'll expand on that. It says, as I wrote it, brethren, we're living in a very complicated world. We know that. There are things happening all around us that just a few months and even a few weeks ago were not occurring. It's just so different. Well, we understand that things are not the same as they were. Not that the way they were before was correct, but what is happening is the world is becoming more and more complicated. This world that we live in, it seems to be getting more and more complicated. And if we watch the news, there's the individuals that are talking, they talk like it's so easy to say these things, whatever is being said. But we can notice they don't have the answers. And individuals that are representing other countries, they don't have the answers either, but it's becoming complicated for them too. And a lot of things are going on now that that are not right. You know, this is the world we live in. It seems to be getting worse. And it seems that the world's trying to come together. You know, this world we live in, the leaders of the world, they want peace. Yes, they do. I suspect they want peace, but the peace has to be according to whatever it is wants peace and be in charge. It seems that the world's trying to come together, but it simply cannot. And under the present governments that are now existing, and certainly I'm not putting the blame on that, but the fact is, we are now living in a different world that we weren't living in even a couple years ago. And I'll be more specific. I think most of you understand that there are threats of nuclear bombs that are now being made. And these threats simply were not being made just a few years ago. And I'm not trying to put the blame on anyone. However, we all should realize that we must strive to live closer and closer to our beloved God. And we have to be very, very careful, brethren, about getting involved with the politics that are out there, because they will crush us. We have to be very, very careful. And we have to recognize that we have to live our lives closer to our Father and, of course, to our Savior and High Priest, Jesus Christ. So as I continue and start to wind up this message, I repeat again that these days of unleavened bread are necessary. They're necessary for us to recognize how important it is for us to strive to draw closer and closer to our loving Father, God, and our loving Savior, Jesus Christ, and of course, to one another in love and in unity. Now, as I look at you out there, I think most of us know each other, but there are some that aren't known that well. And so we have to recognize that there are visitors among us and even brethren to draw close to one another, to just talk with one another, maybe have a lunch together or a dinner together and just get to know each other and bring out those conversations that show that, hey, they are our brethren, our brothers, and our sisters, and they are growing just like we are growing. And so that's very, very important. And so it's important that we include on a daily basis under our own responsibilities those words that come out an awful lot, and that's daily prayer, Bible study, and then, of course, recognizing the responsibilities that we have from our loving God, Jesus Christ, and we even have responsibilities in how we conduct ourselves with other brethren here. So our attitudes, that's very important. People might say, well, what is leaven? Leaven doesn't necessarily have to be a physical thing. A bad attitude is leaven. I think you all understand that. A desire not to do what we are expected to do in our day-to-day living is leaven. Those are things that can be looked at, the leaven in our hearts and in our minds, how we treat one another, leaven, and how we conduct ourselves, leaven, and all those things. And so, but we want to be cleansed. We want to have unleavened bread, unleavened ideas, unleavened ways of living our lives. Our attitude should include being thankful to our loving God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, for their kindness, their mercy, and love to us. And certainly with that, it would include serving one another. We can't argue with serving one another. And I don't mean handing a plate to one another. I think you all understand. Service is not just that. Service is just becoming friends with our brethren and learning about them and doing things that will help them in whatever it is and becoming closer and closer to them. And not just here, but those we work with. And people out there notice that. They notice that there's something different about us. They won't tell us, but you can see it in their faces when you have to acknowledge an answer to a question. And instead of getting all bent out of shape and letting loose and putting some kind of a blame on them for whatever, maybe taking a long time on trying to get to an office on the phone or something like that, they notice that. But you know, if just a little apology, sorry about those kind of things, they notice that too. And so, brethren, the days of unleavened bread are something that we have to continually look at, recognize the importance of it, and that it comes every year. But nevertheless, we need to recognize the importance of living our lives with an unleavened attitude. That's so important, an unleavened attitude. Not a leavened attitude, but an unleavened attitude of love, of kindness, of joy, and just trying to help one another. So this concludes my message, brethren, and I'll end it at this time, and we'll go on then and as we finish the service.